There is nothing more refreshing, nothing more comforting on the Lord's Day for the heart of a forgiven sinner born again than to remember what our dear Lord Jesus Christ have done for us on the cross of Calvary. So my message today is titled, "It is finished." It is finished. Let's read one verse from John chapter 19, verse 30. The Word of God says, "When Jesus therefore has received the vinegar, he said, 'It is finished.' And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit." Usually, when somebody dies, he gives up his spirit first, then bows his head. But with the Lord Jesus, it was different. He bowed his head, then gave up his spirit. What does that mean? It means that he had full authority over death. Didn't he say in John chapter 10, verse 18, "No man takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again." So before he bowed his head and gave up his spirit, we heard him saying that these glorious words, "It is finished." What did our dear Lord mean by saying "it is finished"? He was telling us that he accomplished four very important things. First, he finished the work in regard of God the Father. Number two, he finished the work in regard of himself. Number three, he finished the work in regard of mankind. Number four, he finished the work in regard of Satan. How did he finish the work in regard of to God the Father? We have here to remember three very important points. First of all, he finished all eternal plans. When Christ died on the cross of Calvary, he didn't die because of any weakness in him. He didn't die as a martyr. He came all the way down from heaven to do the will of his Father. How many times he said, "For this very moment, for this very hour, I came." Peter gives us a clearer picture in Acts chapter 2, verse 23. When in his famous sermon on the day of Pentecost, he reminded the Jews about what they did on that very day, he said, "Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and the foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain him." Yes, he finished the eternal plan of God. Yes, he has taken upon himself to redeem us and pay the heavy price so high there on the cross of Calvary, fulfilling his father's will. Number two, he finished revealing the love of God to us. As Paul says in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, but God commended his love towards us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. There was no other way God could show his love towards mankind except through the work of the cross. And how great was his love to us? John tells us in chapter 13, verse 1, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Yes, he couldn't do it. He couldn't show us his love except him passing by the cross of Calvary. Number three, he finished the requirement of God's justice. Every one of us was personally supposed to pay the price of his own sins. But Christ took upon himself to carry them on his shoulder, paying our heavy debts. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body were on the tree, on the cross. Matthew chapter 8, verse 17, it says that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying that he himself took our infirmities and bare our sickness. He finished the work for God the Father. Now, number two, how did he finish the work in regard to his person? We have here 4 points to remember, to keep in mind. Number one, he finished and put an end to all types and shadows and symbols. The Jews today read what they call the Tanakh. The Tanakh is an abbreviation of 3 words. Ta, Torah, Na, Nabiim, Che, Kitabim. Tanakh. They read the Old Testament, the Tanakh, and understand nothing at all. Why is that? Because it was all written in symbols and types and shadows. But thank God, my brothers and sisters, for the enlightenment of the New Testament and for Christ fulfilling all these symbols. Now we know that he was the tabernacle. He was the 7 sacrifices. He was the copper serpent. He was the smitten rock. The Jews, they read all this. They don't know that they are symbols of Christ. Otherwise, we would be ignorant like the Jews nowadays, whom they have their eyes blinded of knowing the biblical truths because of them rejecting Christ. Number two, he finished all the requirement or all the required pain and suffering. There were 2 kinds of pain and suffering our dear Lord Jesus bare. A, there was the pain and suffering caused by man. As it says in Isaiah chapter 50 verse 6, it says, I gave my back to the smiters and my cheek to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. That's what man did to our Lord Jesus. In Psalm 129, verse 3, he said, the plowers plowed upon my back. They made long their furrows. That's a small symbol of the pain and suffering our dear Lord endured from man. That's A. B, there were also the redeeming pain and suffering. We know that our dear Lord Jesus was hanged there on the cross for 6 hours. The first 3 hours, he suffered because of man. And the last 3 hours, the Father's hand was so heavy on him. We hear Isaiah 53 saying, verse 10 saying, yet it pleased the Lord, Jehovah. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. In Psalm 88 verse 14, Lord, he shouted, he said, Lord, why castest thou off my soul? Why hidest thou thy face from me? That was the most painful mental and psychological moment our dear Lord Jesus Christ passed through. To see God the Father, who is, he is the beloved Son, him being since eternity the beloved Son of God, the Son of his, of the Father's bosom. We all remember him shouting to the Father on the cross with tremendous pain, Eli, Eli, lima shabaktani. My God, why have you forsaken me? It was so tough on him. Number 3, he finished the work of redemption. The sacrifices in the past were just types and shadows of Christ's redeeming work on the cross. But the blood of these animals had a temporary effect. If we remember, we have 7 sacrifices. 3 occasional ones and 4 daily ones. The red heifer, the Yom Kippur, the Passover, these are the occasional ones. The 4 of them is the burnt offering, the sin offering, the trespass offering, and the peace offering. All these combined were types and shadows of the work of Christ on the cross of Calvary. But thank God for the finished work of Christ on the cross. It says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12, not by blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Yes, his redemption was eternal for you and me. The animal sacrifices needed to be repeated one time after the other, because it covered man's sins temporarily. It was called the atonement of sin. Meaning, the word atonement means cover, a cover for sin. The sin was covered from year to year by the Yom Kippur sacrifice. But thank God. Now, praise the Lord. You know, it's no more called atonement. It is no more called cover. John says in his first letter, it was a propitiation for our sin. Do you know what propitiation means? It means total satisfaction. We're not covered anymore. We're totally satisfying the heart of God the Father by his sacrifice. The propitiation for our sin. Number four, he finished the work by fulfilling the requirement of the law. The law wasn't given to man to practice it. It was given to man to discover how miserable he is, but not being able to obey the law. There is no way man could have kept the law of Moses. Paul says in Romans chapter 9, verse 31, but Israel, which follow after the law of righteousness, have not attained the law of righteousness. There is no way. If we could find one person on earth that could keep the law, Christ came in vain to this earth. Righteousness, my friend, can only be obtained by grace, through faith only. That's one reason. There is also another reason. Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 2, verse 21, if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. We see that there is no man-made way we can adopt to be justified before God. So what's the solution? What can we do? We can have the answer from Colossians, the letter to the Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. Look at this wonderful verse. He has forgiven all our trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances. Blotting out the handwriting of our, meaning paying off the bill, the heavy bill of our debts. He has forgiven all our trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross of Calvary. Yes, we couldn't pay the price. He paid it there on the cross on our behalf. You know, the beauty of the trespassing sacrifice. You know, when the high priest used to go once a year into the Holy of Holies, get the atonement for 1 year, then after he got this 1 year atonement, then we start on daily walk with the Lord as a Jew. There are four daily sacrifices: the burnt offering, the sin offering, the trespass offering. The trespass offering, you have to pay off what you stole, what you neglected, and add to it 20%. What does that mean? All your sins were forgiven. Even the trespass sins, they were paid 20% in advance for you. Only Christ can do this for us. Number three, how did he finish the work in regard to mankind? We also have here 4 points to keep in mind. Number one, he finished the work on behalf of man when he saved him. He saved him, yes. He saved man, he saved him once and for all. As it says in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Number two, how did he finish the work on behalf of man? By forgiving all his sins. In Acts chapter 10, Peter tells Cornelius, you remember the story? He says, to him give all the prophet witness that through his name, whosoever believe in him shall receive remission of sins. He doesn't say here sin in singular. He says sin in plural. Sins. Remission of sins. Why is that? It means that all past, present, and future sins are all forgiven. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 17, he said, "And their sins and iniquities I will remember no more, my friends. My sins, past and present, they're forgotten. And our iniquities, our trespassing, he will not remember them." He has the capability not to remember them. My friend, God is the one who is capable of not remembering. If you make a mistake with me, I will always remember it. I'm not able to forget it, but God is able to forget everything. Let's just stop at this very verse. When he said he wouldn't remember our sins and iniquities. When he said their sins, that means the past and present sins. When he said he wouldn't remember our iniquities, he meant our trespassed sins, our future sins. Wow, did you ever stop to this point and remember it? We have to be very careful here. That's not a permission to us to live in sin. Because many Christians, they believe that if I'm forgiven past and present and future, God is not going to count anything. Let me live the way I would like to. No. That's not a permission to us to live insane. Because all our sins have been forgiven, no. But it is an opportunity for us to glorify his abundant grace, who dealt with us in such a magnificent way. Amen? It is a way to glorify that grace that saved us. Number three, he finished the work on behalf of man when he reconciled him with God. As Paul says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 20, "And having made peace through the blood of his cross by him." Why is that? He said to reconcile all things unto himself by him. I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, all has been reconciled. Yes. On behalf, when he reconciled him to God, he reconciled us to God. Everything. Number four, he finished the work on behalf of man when he brought us back to God. He redeemed us. After the fall in the Garden of Eden, we lost that fellowship with God. Because the devil stole us away from him. We read in Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. I believe on the breaking of bread, somebody read it this morning. "And they sung a new song, saying, You are worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for you were slain and has redeemed us." Meaning, he bought us back. "Redeem us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." He redeemed us. He brought us back to him. How did he finish number four? How did he finish the work in regard to Satan? We have here 2 points to remember. He finished the work when he destroyed Satan. He came down all the way from heaven to defeat the devil. As a man, not as God. He didn't defeat the devil as God. He defeated him as a man. That's why he came as a man. Exactly as he says in Hebrew, chapter 2, verse 14. He took our forms as humans. Why? So he can die on the cross and through death he might destroy him, Satan. Death has the power of death. That is the devil. He win over Satan as a man. Number two, he finished the work when he defeated Satan's army. As Paul says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 15, he spoiled principalities and powers. He made a show of them, openly triumphing over them in it. Dear brothers and sisters, let's always remember that magnificent finished work of Christ on the cross of Calvary. Let's remember that the last words of our dear Lord, when he said, "It is finished," first, he satisfied God the Father on our behalf. Two, he satisfied himself because he took upon himself to redeem us. Number three, he satisfies humankind by redeeming them. Number four, he defeated Satan by destroying him. Amen. May the Lord bless this word to our hearts today. God bless you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much. We stand speechless. We don't know what to say in regard to what you did for us on the cross of Calvary. Please, Lord, help us take into consideration all those points that we heard today so we can live up to the level you want us to live until the day you will come and take us to you. I thank you for this church. Thank you for my brothers and sisters. Thank you for everything. We commit this coming week in your hands. So you walk before us, you strengthen us, you use us for the glory of your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.